Today, as we look forward to Thanksgiving, as we head into Thanksgiving, the message that I have for you is, are you truly thankful? And the text we'll be looking at is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And we'll get to the scripture in just a couple moments. One day, a woman was rushing home from a doctor's appointment. You see, the doctor had been somewhat delayed in his visit with her. And in the lab work, it took just a little bit longer than it normally did. So by the time she left the clinic, she was a little bit behind schedule. She still had a whole bunch of things to do. She had to go pick up the kids from childcare. She had to go by the drugstore and pick up the prescription that the doctor had given to her. She had to go home and prepare dinner, all in time to make it to evening prayer meeting. She pulls into the drugstore parking lot. And wouldn't you know it, at that very moment, the heavens opened up and it poured down rain. And so in this pouring rain, and not one who normally wants to bother God with small things, she says this prayer, "Lord, you know what kind of day I've had, and there is still an awful lot to do. Could you please grant me a parking space right away? Oh, and close to the building so I don't get soaked." The words weren't even out of her mouth completely when she saw the backup lights of a car come on the first row closest to the store entrance. As she pulls up there and she pulls into the spot, she says, "Never mind, God, something just came up." How many times do we ask God for something, and then when we receive it, we behave as though it were just a coincidence, and we fail to give credit where credit is due? Citibank, they started an advertising campaign on television for their new line of credit cards. The line carries rewards or prizes, and you can receive these rewards for using your card. You see, it is just their way of saying thank you to the customer for choosing to use their cards. One of the commercials that they had, and they still have the commercials out nowadays, one of the commercials they had involved two ladies in a grocery store. Maybe you've seen this. The one lady, she puts her hands on the stomach of the other lady and says, "Oh, when is the baby due?" And the lady looks at her and says, "I'm not pregnant." So the lady, not sure what to do at the moment, she comes up with, "Thank you." With that simple reply, the offended woman, she forgets about the insulting words, and the two ladies embrace. Then the slogan, Citibank flashes their slogan across the screen that says, "It's amazing what a simple thank you can do." Yeah, imagine that. Karen's going, "What?" Most people are only thankful when they have to be. That goes for Christians as well. It's a terrible thing to say, but it is the truth. Why else would we need to have a special day to offer thanksgiving? If we gave thanks all the time like we should, there would be no need to have this day, which would mean no turkey and no stuffing. Okay. The smell is really coming up. I don't know if you can you smell it here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got. Can you smell it back there yet, guys? Okay. Whew. Maybe we should. Somebody did. Who said that? Kelly did. Kelly said that we should all just, you all should just be eating while I do the message. You know what? We may not be able to make it if we don't do it and stuff. I don't believe that we are ungrateful or unthankful on purpose. I think that it's kind of just because of human nature that we take things for granted. And it's nothing new. The people were not thankful back in Jesus' day either. In Luke chapter 17, we are told about an event that warranted thanks. Now, I don't know if you have inserts. I'm sorry, I'm diverting now. At first, I wasn't going to do these. And then we didn't have a bulletin, and I wasn't going to do them or anything like that. And then I said, well, I got to get the scripture up there. So by the time I got the scripture up there, I said, okay, and I went ahead and did an insert. So hopefully you have it. It's not really an insert. It's more of just a handout because there's no bulletin. If you need one, there's some up here, and there may still be some in the back. But the scripture this morning, Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11, it's an instance that took place in the Bible that definitely warranted thanks. And you can follow along here or in your Bible if you have them. It reads like this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood in a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Today, what I'd like to do is look at 3 aspects of thankfulness that we can glean, that we can pull from this scripture. The first one is, there are no good excuses for unthankfulness. You see, we as Americans, we love to make excuses. After all, nothing is ever our fault. Danny Ainge never ever committed a basketball foul. Some of you will understand that. No one in jail has ever committed a crime. It was always someone else's fault. When a little child gets in trouble, they always blame it on the other person. I don't know, and it wasn't me, always takes the blame for everything. When a politician gets in a bind, they will always find something else to pin the blame on. One of my favorite excuses of all times, and maybe you've heard about this, was a popular lawsuit that was filed several years ago. A woman spilled her McDonald's hot coffee in her lap. Then she sued the company. She sued McDonald's for a bunch of money. You see, it was not her fault that she spilled the coffee in her lap. She was not driving the car. Matter of fact, the car was not even moving. Her grandson, she had ordered the coffee, her grandson had parked the car, and while she's sitting in the passenger seat, she has a cup of coffee between her legs, and she's trying to pull the lid off. She spills the coffee in her lap, in her sweatpants that she was wearing, and she burned her legs. She sued McDonald's. You see, it was McDonald's fault because their hot coffee was too hot. She probably would have complained if the coffee was cold anyway. She won the lawsuit, even though the spilling of the coffee was entirely her fault. McDonald's had to take the blame because she had a good enough excuse in the eyes of the judge. The judge and the jury, they awarded her $640,000. McDonald's filed an appeal to the case. She actually appealed the case as well. And the two of them settled out of court. No one knows exactly how much they settled for, but it was more than $600,000. But no one knows the exact amount. You see, making excuses is nothing new. Think about the very first humans on the planet. They are told not to eat of the fruit of a certain tree. And then they both do it, and they have to face God. And God comes and he asks them what has happened. He first approaches Adam. And what does Adam do? He makes an excuse. It's not my fault. The woman you put here made me do it. So Adam blames God and the woman. Then when God gets to the woman, when he gets to Eve, she makes an excuse. The talking snake tricked me into doing it. It's not my fault. You see, these excuses, they seemed valid, but God doesn't buy excuses. God told them not to eat, but they did anyway. Even though they had excuses all lined up, God punished Adam and Eve because excuses were not enough. In our story that I read for you a little earlier from the scripture, the 10 lepers, The nine of them never came back to give Jesus thanks. They probably had excuses for why they did not come back, that they thought were good for not coming back to thank Jesus. They may have gone something like this. The first one waited to see if the healing was real. The second one waited to see if it would last. The third said he would go and give thanks to Jesus a little bit later on. The fourth decided that he never ever had leprosy in the first place. The fifth one said he would have gotten well anyway. The sixth one, he gave glory to the priests that he was going to visit. The seventh one reasoned, Jesus didn't do anything anyway. The eighth one proclaimed that any rabbi could have done this. And the ninth one said, I was already much improved before I left. Now, I actually have no way if this is what those guys thought and things. But when you know humans and when you know how humans react, you could see that it could have happened that way. We can easily assume that they were like this. We love making excuses for not doing the things that we should. But those excuses, they do not fly with Jesus. When the one truly thankful leper actually came back to Jesus, Jesus honored him. However, Jesus did ask, where are the other nine? Jesus expected every one of them to come back and be thankful. And he expects that of Christians today. The second aspect that we can glean from this, everyone has something to be thankful for. And I love Matt's story, and I'm sorry he's not here to hear this part of it. The story that he shared, it fits right in with this. There was a newspaper article that some children wrote of things that they were thankful for. Here are some of the highlights. I am thankful for my family because they love me and give me food. Andrew, age 10. I am thankful for flowers and trees, oh so tall, and for a van to go places, especially the mall. Victoria, age 10. No, I'm sorry, Victoria, age 9, practicing on her poetry there. I am thankful for our furry little squirrels that bring great happiness to our lives. From Ryan, age 7. I am thankful for Thanksgiving because I like to eat ham. Maria, age 5. I am thankful that my dad has a permanent job and my brother is in remission from leukemia. From Anastasia, age 10. Last one here. I am thankful for Thanksgiving because it is a happy holiday. And it's when families get together and have a time of celebrating God's goodness. The pilgrims are a good example to me because no matter how hard things go, God is always with you and will provide for all your needs. When God provided for them, they did not forget him, but praised him with thanksgiving. All that from Natalie, age 10. Hope you're as impressed. A 10-year-old girl. She gets it. She gets the picture of what God wants. God wants us to be thankful in all circumstances because we have something to be thankful for. If we call ourselves Christians, we have even more to be thankful for. Jesus Christ came to this earth and took our place on the cross. You see, we should have gone there. We should have had to pay the penalty for our sins. But he who was blameless, he took our place so that we might live. And now all we have to do is to believe him and trust him and accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. And then our slate is wiped clean. We don't have to pay the price for the penalty of our death. He already did it. Once and for all. That one act alone should be enough to make us thankful for all of the days of our lives. But you see, God, he doesn't stop there. He continues to bless us every single day. And many times we take it for granted. Think about it this way. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, You are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank and in your wallet, and maybe some spare change lying around someplace, you are among the world's top 8% in wealth. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the 1 million people who will not survive this week alone. If you have never ever experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend church meetings without the fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion in the world. If your parents are still alive and still married, you are rare, even in the United States. I don't think you need to go on any further. You're getting the picture. We are a blessed people with much to be thankful for. We must be a more thankful people. Third aspect that we can get from this. We as Christians need to set the bar for thankfulness. See, the Gallup poll, it reports, George Gallup reports in a poll that he did, 84% of Americans claim to be Christians. Of those 84%, less than 10% of Americans are deeply committed Christians. These committed Christians are far, far more happier than the rest of the population. Committed Christians are more accepting of others than the average American, more involved in charitable activities, and are absolutely committed to prayer. While many more Americans than this 10% profess to be Christians, most actually know little or nothing about Christian beliefs. And they act no differently than the non-Christians around them. What is the problem with that picture? You see, Christians are called to be set apart. Yet only 10% of the population is acting that way. That leaves an astounding 74% of Americans that claim to be Christians and yet act no differently at all than those not claiming to be Christians. Is it any wonder that the church is not growing? Not just this church, but the church as a whole. As Jesus healed these 10 lepers, most of them were Jews. They were God-fearing, church-going people. They belonged to the moral majority, and they were even known as the people of God, God's chosen people. However, when they were healed, only one leper returned to give thanks. And this one leper was actually a Samaritan. You see, Samaritans did not go to church back in those days. They were looked upon as outcasts and lowlifes. The church people of that day, they wanted to have nothing to do with any of the Samaritans. They were not even worth the time of day to one of God's chosen people. Yet, he is the only one who shows thanks. You see, when the church should have been setting the bar of thankfulness, the world was actually leading the way. In many cases, the same is true today. Think of some of the Christians that you know. They are bitter and mean. They never think of anyone but themselves. They are proud, arrogant, and rude. The problem is that people outside of the church are often more pleasant than the people in it, when it should be the other way around. Christians are meant to set the bar in things like love, kindness, gentleness, and thankfulness. We are meant to live in such a way that non-believers will want what we have. However, according to the statistics, 74% of those who claim to be Christians are living no differently or even worse than non-Christians. Now, I know that that statistic does not really apply to us here in this room. But if it did, that would mean that 3 out of 4 of us are no more thankful than those out in the world. We must seek to do a better job. As I close, I want to encourage you to do better. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, God desires for us to be thankful and not make excuses. He desires for us to be thankful because everyone has something to be thankful for. He desires for us to be thankful because we are to be an example to the rest of the world of what it truly means to be thankful. So how do we do this? It's only through the strength of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With His power and His leading, we can be thankful in all circumstances, even in the rough and the hard times. This week, as we head into Thanksgiving on Thursday, I want to encourage you to make a list of everything that you can thank God for. No, I never got it right when I was practicing it either. Make a list of everything that you can think of that you can thank God for, and then do it. Thank God for all He has done for you, because a thankful spirit opens the door to a closer relationship with God. After all, to enter His gates, we must do it with thanksgiving. And it's time we start doing it. So as the worship team makes their way up here, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song of thanksgiving. Father, we just want to thank You so much for this day that You have given to us. We thank You for this time which we can gather together. We thank You for the warmth of this building. We thank You for the food that has been prepared and is being worked on right now. We thank You that we have places to live, that we have health. Father, there is so much that we as a congregation and that we as individuals can thank You for. Most of all, we thank You for Your Son, for Jesus Christ, and His stepping down out of heaven and coming to earth and dying in our place so that we could have life. Thank You. Thank You for all You do. You are an amazing Father. Allow us, each one of us, to continually be thankful and to express that thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.